It doesn't matter what kind of e-commerce brand you're building, you still need a rock-solid way to grow and scale your company like clockwork. Welcome to Seven Figures and Beyond, an e-commerce marketing podcast for D2C brand owners and marketers looking for best practices that include proven strategies and tactics to grow an e-commerce brand to seven figures and beyond. Bringing 18-plus years of marketing experience as an e-commerce brand owner and e-commerce agency owner, please welcome your host, Greg Shuey.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 20. Episode 20, how about that? We made it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, buddy, of the Seven Figures and Beyond podcast. Hope everyone is having an amazing day today. Today we've got a pretty awesome guest. His name is Matthew Holman. And Matthew, he has a ton of irons in the fire right now. I actually had to reach out to him, I think it was on Monday, say, hey man, how do you want to be introduced? So I'm going to do my best here. I'm actually just going to read what he sent me. How about that? So Matthew's the founder of Subscription Prescription, where he helps D2C brands who are either already in the subscription game or wanting to get into it, get better at subscriptions and subscription marketing. He is also the founder of Commerce Catalyst, which is a local e-commerce community here in Utah. This guy, he's running a million miles an hour right now, trying to build the best e-commerce community through live events, virtual events, running our Slack channel, etc. And I, for one, am truly appreciative of him and all of the efforts he puts in every single day to bring us all together. Because as we all know, running and growing a business can be lonely. If you're a founder, you know, an e-commerce founder, it can be incredibly lonely.
That's true.
And we need each other to be able to build and grow together. So we need more amazing people like him.
Thanks, Greg.
I really, really, really appreciate you and everything you're doing, man.
I appreciate that. That's really kind of you to say.
Yeah. So I'll add those two links to Subscription Prescription and Commerce Catalyst. I'll add them in the show notes so everyone has access to those. And thank you, Matthew, for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today.
Absolutely. I'm excited to talk.
Cool, man. Well, before we dive into subscriptions, why don't you just take a few minutes and introduce yourself to our listeners? And I'd love to hear your story, like your personal story. Like, how did you get to where you are today? I know that you and I have kind of talked about that story over pizza a couple of months ago, but let's have you share that with our listeners.
Yeah, Greg's teasing at a big reveal or a big thing, but I definitely have a atypical story of how I got to where I am, and part of that is as a young man making some really dumb decisions and some bad stuff happening, and was incarcerated for most of my 20s and some of my 30s, and so. It's funny. I'm 43 years old now. And, but in many ways I identify with 25-year-olds who are just getting out of college, a couple of years into their job, trying to figure things out. And part of that is because I spent years like dreaming about what I would do. And when I was younger, I, you know, loved books and wanted to, you know, be an English teacher or something like that. And the longer I was waiting on the sidelines, the more I kept thinking about entrepreneurship.
Huh.
And business and trying to create things, right? Like trying to create something. And so part of like my drive is wanting to overcome my own past and mistakes, pave the way for other people that are like me or that are struggling, you know, have a record or something like that. But, the funny story is I've always loved marketing, and then, always thought e-commerce was so fascinating just because it's like, just moves so quickly. It's always innovating. It's always changing how people are buying. It's all about like the psychology of selling and at like light speed with technology, which is I've also kind of like love geeking out on. And so, but when I got out, I was scared that I was like 37 and I was like, well, there's no way I'm going to go into marketing because I'm old and everybody else is like knows marketing better than I do. And so I was going to school and I got a degree in information systems and technology because I felt like new stuff's coming out all the time.
Yeah.
You don't need to have 10 years of experience. And then through just like, you know, a series of just kind of random events, running into an old friend. I end up, you know, working at this tech company. And then, you know, when they decided they wanted to pivot into some more marketing stuff, like they looked to me to do some of that. So I ended up marketing at a SaaS company in the e-commerce space. So it's kind of like, you know, I tried to avoid that passion for a little while, and then just through, that's the way the, you know, random, you know, winds of change or whatever brought me back into it. And then doing that for a while, that was an eHub shipping technology company here in Utah. It's actually where I met my wife. Love those guys over there and everyone there. And then wanted to go the entrepreneur route, joined a little small startup called QPilot to do subscriptions. And that's where kind of like my life really started to change, was the beginnings of Commerce Catalyst started while I was there, because I wanted to just, I felt alone as a marketer and wanted more people to talk to and have as resources. And
hey, loneliness right there.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned it. That's the entire reason Catalyst exists, is because why would you go read a blog when you could go ask your neighbor who's like, you know, done that before.
And they're
like
done that.
Used 5 different landing page builders, like go ask them what they like and why. And then got into subscriptions, and same thing, like as a SaaS marketer, I had a good time, but the more I did community stuff, the more I worked one-on-one with brands on subscriptions, the more like my own passion was unlocked. And so now I'm kind of like walking that. And that's why I say, like, I'm trying to still figure out who I am and where I fit into the professional world, like everybody. And, but a lot of that is helping directly, hands-on problem solving. That's why I love the subscription stuff so much, because I think it's an amazing space, and sometimes just requires a little bit of a mindset shift to do it really well, and the community stuff. That's kind of it in a very brief nutshell, but yeah.
I love it. It's such an awesome story. And, you know, like you mentioned, e-commerce is so fast moving. We're learning every day. We're testing every day. And that's why I love e-commerce so much as well, is because it's just, you wake up and you literally don't know what you're going to tackle the next day, because Google changes the rules, Facebook changes the rules, like whatever. So it's awesome. All right, cool. So let's jump into our conversation. Sure. I would assume that most brands know, you know, what subscriptions are. There's obviously brands out there who don't do subscriptions or probably even need subscriptions, but there are definitely some that they can leverage this tactic or this tool to be able to really accelerate their growth. So, I think most people kind of,
it's interesting, because what you're saying is always makes me think of this as subscriptions. The whole goal behind subscriptions is repeat revenue, right?
Right.
Like you're trying to build up, right? And sometimes there's a misalignment between what your customers actually want to buy from you and what you're trying to get.
That's interesting.
Buy, right?
Yep.
So if you take a step back from that and just think, if you're trying to think through, there's a subset of my customer group, whether they're customers now or would be in the future, that would pay me more for more stuff. That those are my VIP customers, my really, really tight ICP. How can I enable an experience that's like driven for them? And so when you come out of with that mindset, then you're talking memberships, certain loyalty programs, and potentially subscriptions, because subscriptions are really, they're either about like convenience or some kind of value unlock, right? Yeah. Like, you know, and so if you think about it in that way, like it actually starts to like create, I think, a little bit more clearer vision on what you should be building and offering is, how can I get people to spend more that want more from me?
Got it. Okay. I like that angle. And that's exactly what I was trying to get at. And then I kind of locked my train of thought there for a second. Right. No, I like that angle. So it's a direct play into growing lifetime value. And there are lots of different ways to be able to do that. Okay, cool.
Right.
All right. So can you help us understand what actually makes subscriptions grow? Like, can you walk us through the acquisition funnel, the retention funnel of a subscription-based brand, and kind of help walk us through that and figure that out?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think some the ways that I like, when I really started to feel like I was unlocking subscriptions with the brands I was working with is we actually started on the retention side. So if you actually walk backwards, you start to kind of understand everything. And an example I really like to use is iHeartDogs. They're a pet food company. And they have they're mission driven. They donate a portion of every sale to feeding shelter pets. So a lot of brands, you need some branding, yeah. You need that mission, you need that kind of like higher goal that you're working for, the reason you started the brand in the first place. But what happened was they were churning customers because they had too much product, right? And that's a really common issue. So what happens is you start to dive into why they have too much product. It's because dogs come in different sizes and people weren't sure how much to order. And so when you understand sure. that the limitation was we didn't know what to order, they go back to the product page and they redesign it so that you select your dog size and that changes the amount you should buy and the frequency you should get. It's a lot of customization to make that happen. Yeah. It was expensive. But when they did that, conversions went up like 30%. Retention went up like 40%. And so the whole idea with a lot of this like subscription growth is I really say is like you want to learn from what people aren't getting. Like they're either they don't see the value and you need a better job of demonstrating value, or it's not the right frequency for them. Maybe they don't need it every month. Maybe they need it every other month. But when we walk backwards, it all really revolves around. And the thing I harp on all the time is the offer. Mm-hmm. The offer is what people get when they buy and why are they buying it. And so if we're just talking pet food and the only reason I'm buying is because I'm getting a 10% discount, you're going to struggle to convert subscribers and build a program. If it's not something extra, the quality of the product, the convenience, the extra perks you get with like a doggy treat every time, or you get access to a community or some other element, you're going to lose out to Chewy. You're going to lose out to your local, Petco, because people aren't going to see a ton of value there. And so that's what you have to focus on: the offer, the value, and where you're positioning yourself in the market.
Interesting. Yeah, we do a lot of customer research on our side, and I think that probably plays into that, right? Because you're trying to figure out who your right fit customer is and build your offer, build your messaging, build everything to almost repel the wrong people as well, right? The people who are coming for a one-time buy, who are looking for a deep discount. And once you know who those people are, you can kind of back that out and really build something of value that will help kind of grow the revenue for you, the subscription side for you as well.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool. Cool. So, talking about the customer, I know that the customer experience is just a massive driver to growing and keeping subscribers. Why would they continue to give you money if they're not having a good experience? So right. I think we can probably spend a fair amount of time here, but can you talk about that? Can you talk about getting insights from your customers to help guide your strategy and how you go about doing that.
Right. Yeah. It's unfortunately it's something that gets talked about all the time. Like know your customer, talk to your customer. Yeah. And it's a lot harder than just that. Right. I think that there are a lot of the basics things I'm going to list a lot of things that probably people have already heard before, but maybe add a little extra reason why. Right.
Sure.
Quizzes on the front end, right? Quizzes are great, not just because they drive higher conversions, but they allow you to ask more personal questions around different people. And you can tie those answers into lifetime value to start like understanding,
yeah.
Hey, if I'm selling a sleep supplement, people that cite that they're 40 and older and married, like spend more with me. Yeah. Okay. So now I can make better ads. I can make a better offer.
So I'm going to pause you right there. I'm sorry, but so quizzes and or just asking questions and collecting data right. up front, right?
Right?
Did you know, I know that we both like Sendlane. We're both fans of Sendlane. Did you know they just launched forms and the ability to be able to collect data up front? So
no, I did not know.
That's cool. Had Jimmy on last week and he's like, we just launched this and it's brilliant because you can collect those data points, push them right into Sendlane, create your segments right. and speak these people's language and add to right. their overall customer experience. So dude,
I love it. And quizzes are great because it's, even if somebody doesn't buy from you, you can still learn, like you yep. want to learn about the audience,
yeah.
like the types of people that are visiting your site and that something about the ad they resonated with or found you in an article. Yeah. So that's one touch point. What people are actually purchasing on the site can give you some feedback based on how you're testing copy and stuff. Post-purchase surveys. Everybody always asks, where did you hear about us? But ask more use case related questions. So I use the sleep one as an example. Are you hoping for more energy the next day? Is it because your spouse snores? Like, you know, or a workout supplement? Are you trying to get in shape because you're single again, right? Or is it just because you're just your doctor or your kids are keep telling you you're unhealthy? Like, understand that basic reasons why people are buying something are fundamental to how you can sell and how you deliver more value, right? So there's that. You can ask more surveys on throughout the buying process through email. Cancellation surveys within subscriptions, you get a lot of information. A lot of brands struggle to maybe, you can test more questions. There is some newer tech related to AI that's coming out that's more interactive. And then talking to customers, customer support tickets. That's like the bigger of a brand you get, the more data you get, but also the farther you are away from, like, when you're a founder and you're selling, like, you're getting like 5 sales a month because you're like getting like people at, you know, your local farmer's market to buy from you. You're hearing directly from them about what they like and what they don't like about the problem. When you have 5,000 customers a month or 50,000 customers a month, you're disconnected, but you have a lot more data than you can get as well. So that's one way to think about it. And I would say one of the things you talk about data, like an example that I love using is a local Utah company called Mixers. And so if you think they're selling a women's supplement, a hormonal supplement, Hertime, and it's, what's interesting is if you look at their marketing funnel from, like, you know, just taking a step back, is there a lot of women have never taken a supplement for their hormones to try to like help regulate that. But there's a ton of content. Mixers has podcasts, they have community, they have referrals, they have a huge marketing motion going. So when you come in though, even if your other friend has told you they like it, you still have a degree of skepticism or uncertainty, but you buy it. And so the customer data here is like understanding that women might be skeptical, they might be uncertain, means Mixers needs to spend time on the subscription experience enhancing like user experience, right? Like, so instead of like, hey, here's your new frother and here's your new life, it's more like, hey, when Sally, age 52, started taking this, she's noticed X, Y, Z. When Brenda, age 42, out of Florida, started using it, she saw it took... I took it for 3 weeks and then started to feel differently. Like, you're starting to set expectations around what people are doing. And so that's where like the subscription experience, like customer experience, like starts to change, is knowing, like, have they ever used your product before? Are they familiar with like your solution, right? Like what other like hurdles might there be? How do you deliver immediate value or like immediate wins so that they start liking the product right away? Because then when the first renewal comes, they're not thinking about it because they've already decided they really like it, or they've been seeing some success, or maybe they haven't seen it quite yet. Maybe it's like a weight loss supplement and they're like, you know, maybe it's working, it's not, but I'm going to, you know, everybody said to give it 3 months, so I'm going to give it 3 months. You know, that's kind of what you want to have happen.
We want to set expectations, educate, continue to build trust, and all of that compounds over time for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the things I like to do lately, to collect customer data and to also give me some really good assets to be able to use in ads, but also in email to educate and build trust, is, have you heard of Video Ask?
Yeah.
So I'm loving doing Video Ask interviews, right? Very similar questions that we might ask a customer when getting on the phone with them, but we can record their video and then we can take that and we can use that to, again, create those assets. Yep. And then here, 52-year-old.
An AI can filter it for sentiment so that you can get responses.
Yep. And then we've got this video that we can put in an email. 52-year-old so-and-so, like, here's the testimonial video. And so I love to be able to do that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are some of the less known tricks, or even well-known tricks, I would say, to really help add fuel to the fire when it comes to subscriptions?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest thing is like trying to change how people are buying it. And so, and this is where I say like the offer, like, so let's just say as an example, you're selling protein powder. Okay. And like a basic, very basic supplement.
Yeah.
There are lots of different ways you can sell that. You could sell you could sell a bundle of three at a 3 month renewal instead of one bag every month. You could prepay for 6 months. You could add other supplement products in there to like enhance the value instead of using a discount. And so I think where the secret comes in is like, you're trying to figure out what's going to get you, what's going to get people more, a little more excited, or at least feeling like that there's a, getting them to buy what they believe is going to work best for them. Right. Yeah. So like, so if I'm selling 3 bags of protein at once, I can actually probably afford to give a bigger discount because the shipping for 3 bags is not that much different than 1 bag. It's sure. You know, maybe it's 20% more, but instead of me shipping 1 bag 3 times, you know, I'm saving money. You're saving money. And then I'm getting more cash up front because I'm getting a 3. So there's a lot of different ways, I think, just to approach, like, don't think of it all has to be like this product on 30 days. Right.
Yeah.
So there are ways to think through like what makes economies of scale, right, for your business. So that's one thing, is like just maybe testing different ways of people trying things, whether you wanted to offer a starter kit. The other thing is really just trying to get deeper into like, now I'm losing my train of thought, but it's really just a question of like trying to like enable the right purchase experience for what people like. That takes time. Like you yeah. think every brand has an assumption around, oh, it's like a pill, you take one a day, like, mm-hmm. And then, so we're going to ship you one bottle a month.
Yeah.
Like that's your assumption, but maybe that's not actually how people want to buy it. Like people yeah. are like, you know, that seems weird or to me. Like, so there's just a lot of different ways you can position your offer as well. You know, buy one, get 10% off, buy two, get 20% off, buy three, get 30% off. Right. Like yeah. there's a lot of different ways you can start positioning subscriptions. And so, but the hard part is that when you're dealing with like high CAC, which that's hard enough in e-commerce, and subscriptions yeah. typically have higher CAC anyway, like you have to come up with more creative ways to try to capture more value up front, you know, whether you're doing cross sells, trying to offer a bundle, trying to get somebody to opt into a membership or something like that as well.
You know, you mentioned starter kits. Those seem to be pretty mm-hmm. popular in terms of being able to kind of launch subscriptions. Are you seeing that as well? Or is that just on the yeah. you know, 10 sites that I look at and I'm like, holy crap, starter kits are a big thing.
Starter kits are really good just because, I mean, they're good and they're bad. The problem is the good thing is it's smaller, they're cheaper to make, and you can usually either break even or be somewhat profitable on them.
Got it.
And that's the main reason to be using them.
Yeah.
What makes it hard is if somebody buys like a tea starter kit and they're getting like 10 different teas and stuff like that, they may only like 2 of them. And how do you make a process where now they're getting those 2 on full size bags on a subscription? And so like, even if you invest in the tech and the email marketing and everything, you might get like, maybe you get a 10 or 20% conversion. Like you could potentially get higher than that, but that's pretty standard. So the conversion rates off starter kits can sometimes be hard. So there's a mix. So if it's like already preset, like, hey, starter kit is, we're going to send you like a bunch of small samples, but it automatically converts into this bigger thing and you have to opt out or cancel, like that works better because then you're getting people to opt out after the fact.
Got it.
But I would just say they work really well, but sometimes there's a better difference than somebody who's just interested a little enough to try a starter kit versus somebody who's really interested in committing. And so they're willing to buy the full size product.
Yep. Right.
And so like a brand I was talking to about this, like just yesterday, was they actually, a lot of brands have been trying the free plus shipping thing mm-hmm. where we'll send you the product for free if you pay for shipping.
Yeah.
And it's not working out really. They're not getting good conversions out of it because the people that are opting into that are just interested in it as a sample. Right. So again, it's like understanding like the mindset of like the buyers, like, is this somebody's just exploring something? And so to me, the offer would be, here's the full product. And then maybe as like a, you know, using like retention.com or something like that to identify site users, or yeah. maybe they took a quiz or something like that. You're marketing them the starter kit after the fact, like, hey, you didn't buy this. Maybe you were skeptical. Here's a way to test it out, but you're trying to push hard on the bigger product and get people that are serious about it up front because you want that commitment and that bigger revenue.
It all comes back to that ideal customer, right? You can get a bunch of yep. not ideal customers with these little starter right. packs, but that makes a lot right. of sense, actually. Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm glad I asked that one. So like any other kind of marketing, you're going to have peaks, valleys, and you're also going to plateau from time to time. So when a brand plateaus with their subscriptions, or they feel like they've started to plateau, like, what should they do? Like, what do you recommend they do?
Yeah. So honestly, this comes back to this main thesis that we're talking about, is doing more for your best customers. But usually what's happening with subscriptions is like, there's a point where, let's like forgive everybody sitting at home for me doing a simple math exercise, but let's say you lose 10% of your subscribers every month. Okay. You gain 1,000 subscribers every month. Okay. So eventually those 1,000 subscribers are going to equal 10,000 subscribers. Okay. And if you lose 10% a month, you lose 1,000 subscribers every month. So at that point, when you hit 10,000 subscribers, you bring 1,000 in and then you lose 1,000.
Yep.
You've plateaued, right? And so when that happens, it's really difficult to break that because you start spending a lot of money on trying different creatives, trying different offers. What I would recommend at that point is, if you have 10,000 subscribers, you have an audience of people that you most likely are not getting a ton of feedback from that you should. Should be surveying them more, finding out more things. So that comes down to researching new products you can launch into that group, or as a brand, looking at membership options where there's like VIP stuff. There's ways that you can try to enhance the lifetime value, the average lifetime value of your subscriber, to make the program more profitable, and that profit you can put back into different types of acquisition stuff. The other thing would then be like looking at different segmenting, like, right? Like, so you maybe have been selling, again, if we're talking supplement stuff, maybe you get 10,000 subscribers and they're all bodybuilders. Okay, well now let's start looking at like endurance athletes. Maybe we can start selling to them and sell a slightly different experience, test a different lander, test some different copy to try to go after them. So that's where you start. That's the next step of like trying to segment, going after different users. But that's some of the, I know I made it sound that simple, all that really simple. It's actually very, very hard to kind of figure that out. I know it's frustrating, but I would say anybody who's feel like they're approaching that point is spend more time researching your customers, talking to your customers. Is there community efforts you can build? Are there membership offers? You know, out of those 10,000 subscribers, I would hope there's 1,000 or 2,000 of them that are like big, huge fans of your brand. Like, do you have a good referral program in place? Hmm. Are there community actions you can do? Can you do like retreats or some other things to try to like change the game? Use all that to create more UGC, to like lower your CAC, because now you have organic marketing in place, right? Like, so there's a lot of different ways to like approach that as a problem, but that's how I would start, is like research, information gathering.
Interesting. Do you find that certain size brands, or certain, it's not like length, like, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, like is there a certain point in time when brands start to plateau, or is it all over the place?
It is all over the place, because it just depends on how quickly you grow. Like, I've seen brands that are like, one I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, like in 18 months, they went from like no subscriptions to like 15,000 subscriptions, right? Wow. Another brand went from like, they doubled in a year.
Yeah.
And they were already at like 80, 90,000 subscriptions. So, and then you have lots of others that are growing a lot smaller. The ones that are growing the fastest are because they spend a ton of time testing ads, creative, and offers.
Yeah.
They're testing their bundles and their subscription offers, and they're testing it at 20% off, 30% off, 40% off, to try to see what's going to get the best acquisition, and then they watch LTV on the back end. So I think it just depends, but like, that's why I always say, like, if you should be testing the offer, you should be testing why people buy and the price points and whatever else they get to it, because that's what's going to unlock growth for you. Like, if you get 5% better on retention, like that can be really good for your base business. But if you get 5% better at acquisition, like, you can get more subscribers in the funnel.
Yeah.
Period. So that's kind of like one way to think about it, the time factor. Otherwise, like, it does, I think it's just like anything in business, like the more you build and the more that goes on, then you start to uncover like where there are problems and where there are opportunities. So it just kind of depends, because everybody's a little bit different. I've talked to brands that are good on both sides of the equation. But a lot of times they're either really good at acquisition and retention is suffering, or they're really good at retention and acquisition is kind of suffering. So
interesting.
Yeah.
From an ad perspective, do you find that one channel outperforms another these days?
I mean, just in general, Facebook is still Meta is still the winner, just because Meta is the winner.
Sure.
I haven't necessarily done a ton of research on channels and like retention side. I mean, that might be an interesting project to go after, but yeah, it's just typically because like most brands are getting 80, 90% of their customers through Meta anyway. So that's usually the top performing channel. Sometimes affiliates can do really better. Like, we did a project recently where we were studying, we studied all the affiliate codes and tracked lifetime value on subscriptions for them. And so we were starting to identify within their affiliate group, like this group of five does a really good job of people on their audience convert more to subscriptions and last longer. So maybe it's worth investing in like a dedicated subscriptions focused landing pages for these affiliates since they're already good at it. So that's, again, that's kind of the approach. Start to see what's working, what's not, and then try to lean into it a little bit more.
That's cool. I know a lot of brands are leaning into TikTok and TikTok shops. Yep. Like, is there a subscription play there? I haven't gotten really deep into TikTok shops, so I don't know.
Well, one I would look at is BattleBox, and so BattleBox is a subscription box, right? Mm-hmm. It's a premium. They have several different tiers of like outdoor goods and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And they've gone all in on TikTok, and I think their founder just said they did it. Like, they're at $1 million a year in sales on TikTok.
That's awesome.
And they're like a $25 to $30 million brand or more. In general. So, for them though, it's like content focused. They are doing TikTok shops. They are doing some sales and stuff, but they're testing like a lot of different, like, in fact, I'll send you the article because he does a blog called Online Queso. John Roman does, and he breaks down like three different posts that they had that they boosted to see like the impressions they got and the sales they got from them. Oh, cool. So there's a lot of stuff to play with. You just never know what's going to work. Like every ad ever.
Like anything you do from a marketing perspective, who knows? Like,
I don't understand why this drove all these extra sales. But yeah, I think the hard part is like you can't get people necessarily to opt in. Like TikTok shop is somebody, I don't think they're enabling subscriptions yet. Okay. So they'd have to either buy from you and you remarket to them
or
they
try just to click push them
to
in.
Your shop. Yeah. They click through to your shop and the subscription options available. But if you're doing straight TikTok shops or affiliates through TikTok, I don't think you can. But maybe you can soon, but yeah, TikTok would then have to have a subscription platform, and that's not the easiest thing to build. Maybe I should reach out to them.
You should. You should become like their subscription guy. You should own that.
I should.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, you know, if we've learned anything last year, and even for the first quarter of this year, e-commerce is still pretty volatile, right? Like some brands are killing it. Other brands are really suffering and struggling right now. So when it comes to subscriptions, do you have any predictions kind of for the rest of the year and even into 2025?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're seeing a big shift on the app space, and we have been for a while, where you know, a lot of recharge is kind of like the king of the game.
Yeah.
And a lot of other brand apps have been popping up and going after like that part of the piece of the pie. And now recharge has started to push back a little bit. They're starting to catch up on some of the feature set. So there's a bit of a competition. If you're a brand, it's a really good time from a pricing standpoint because you have a lot more leverage because of how competitive the market is and people are fundraising and they need to keep their customers. So I think from a brand perspective, it's a good time to like reevaluate how much you're spending from your app maker kind of thing. So there's that on one side. The other side is I think the competition in the space is like creating tons and tons of like new features, like new ways to like try to sell, like, you know, like looking at, you know, the A/B testing behind Stay AI, like Skio set, like Yacht Pose integration with SMS and email and loyalty, like Loop and Atomic. There's so many out there that I think are doing really cool stuff. That if you're a brand on one of those platforms, or if you're trying to find a better way to enable a certain experience, right? Like if you're trying to build Dr. Squatch's build a bundle experience, like that step-by-step, like it's a lot easier to do that now. You don't need to invest $100K with the developer and build it custom on recharge. You can do that for a lot less off of Atomic, or, you know, or do it a lot less off. And so I think that's what's kind of exciting to me is like more enabled experiences. And so I'm excited to see more of, yes, there's a lot of fluctuations. A lot of brands are capping out on subscriptions. A lot of people are sick of subscriptions, but I honestly am very bullish on the market because I think the smarter brands are investing more and more in experience and investing more and more what people want. And I think as that continues to happen, there's just going to be a lot of wins for users in the market and for brands that are trying to do it that way.
I love that. And I think that's a perfect kind of closing to our discussion is that a lot of brands are investing in experience. Poor customer experience will kill a brand, whether it's a subscription or not. It'll kill it so fast. Right. And so the smart brands, even if they're having a down year, are the ones who are really digging in and working on figuring out what their customer experience looks like. and how to improve it. So I love that.
Yep.
That was awesome, man. Any final words of wisdom for us?
I mean, it's hard, but I think, you know, listen hard. And try to keep it as simple as possible. That's my biggest thing, is just try to figure out what's really moving the needle for you and work more on that. And subscriptions, a lot of, like, you know, snowball effect, other things will start to cascade for you if you can start just working on some of the simple things that are working for your business.
Cool. There you have it. Keep it simple. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for being with us today and taking time out of your schedule. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I feel like next time you need to wear glasses so we can be twins.
Hey, man.
So I'll grow my beard out a little bit more. Yeah,
we'll do it. We'll do it for the last 20 seconds. There you go.
We're cousins, everybody. We're cousins.
Yeah, cousins. Awesome. Well, in our next episode, we're going to be chatting with Garrett Peters and Sarah Autry from Duncan & Stone. They're a really cool journal company. And we're going to be talking about creative and useful ways to increase your average order value. So if you feel like you've capped out on your AOV, this will be a really awesome discussion to tune into. And that's pretty much it. So take what you've learned here. We've learned a lot. Make a plan and take massive action this year. Thank you, everyone, for joining.